Hello out there, and welcome to Work with Miles Okazaki, where I share a few things I've picked up over the years as a guitarist and composer in New York City. If you like what you hear, you could go over to Patreon and become a member for a very small fee and have access to video versions of all of these episodes and others that aren't included here. Download materials such as sheet music and exercises, and have the ability to ask me questions directly and request topics for new episodes. This program focuses on the guitar, but goes into many other areas, so there should be something for everyone. And the show starts now. Let's get back to work on the Bach Violin Sonata in C Major, Fourth Movement, Allegro Assai. We're going to start on the second part of this, and I'm going to do a whole page here because it's like two more pages, and I don't want to break it down in such granular nature as I did on the first one because it's going to just take too many videos. And the second part is kind of similar in concept to the first. And again, what we're doing is not really sight reading it because I have read this before, but I haven't looked at it in a long time. So what we're doing is going through and finding kind of best fingerings for it. And I'm not doing best fingerings by going through every possible way to play every phrase, you know, in every position. I'm looking at it kind of a slowed down version of what I would do in real time, which is to look ahead, look at the range of what's coming up. So that tells me where I need to be on the neck, you know, and then getting the notes and the rhythms, you know. And then as you take it home and study it, you know, you figure out better fingerings. And, you know, I'd be curious to know, oh, this passage works better here, because I'm sure that I don't have the most efficient finger. I'm just kind of going with what I can get at this moment. Okay, so the ending of the previous one was something like... come to the starting on the dominant, starting on G, because this is in C major, right? So this whole second section starts on G. You could go here. Now, when I look at this, let's say I'm just looking at this, and I look at, say, the first, I don't know, two lines or something. I see, okay, it goes down to an A, and it doesn't go very high at all. It goes up to an F there, So let me just try this in fifth position, see what happens. Now, I'm going to end up doing... I don't like this, obviously. So it's going to be more like fourth position. And if I'm thinking about G major, it's this kind of Dorian. This kind of version of G major here on the like fifth... / fourth position is a kind of the F sharp and the B. You have to come to the fourth position to get them. Because I don't like coming up here to get those. I know some people use those fingerings. Three notes per string. I'm not a big fan. Okay. So this is all straightforward, so... This I'm not even barely moving. But here, now, you have to go... It's... Now, when I look at this phrase that's on the fourth bar, I know... here. I don't know. No, I don't like this. Or that. So I'm thinking this all should be down here. Because I'm thinking of this to this. I mean, in the key of G, this is a 5/4 to the 4, which was, of course, our original 1, right? So I'm choosing this over this because it has, I'm looking at the things that, again, the things that are definitely better a certain way. This part, beginning part, this could be here. It could be all kinds of ways. But when I look at the beginning of that third line, I'm thinking that has to be here. It has to be down here. Third position. I'll make sure that, I'm going to look at the video, make sure that you can see my hands. Yeah, no problem. Okay, so looking back at the sheet music now, because that's no good here. That's no good. And there's no reason to do it all the way up here. The sound isn't as good. So now I'll work backwards from that. So I think if I'm coming here, what do I want? If I'm going to go here, there's no reason to come at it from on the 7th fret. I should play the B as a leading tone down in the 2nd fret. I'm looking at the 4th bar now. So now to work backwards from there, okay, so if I'm I know that I was starting up on the 5th, up on the this Dorian kind of position. Switch and just start the whole thing down there. Yeah, again, this doesn't, I made this point in the previous video, playing this tetrachord, that G major thing, I'm thinking of this as a shape that's very common, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, something. To me, this feels much better to play it with second, starting on the 2nd finger. I'm playing the whole thing on 2 strings instead of 3 strings. I can make that. That's not going to be as great. So I'm going to decide, I'm still going to start in the same place, but I'm going to switch somewhere. So it's got to be in the 4th bar, right? So let's do it like that. Slick, you could use an open string. That gives you time to switch without sliding your finger. That's a little difficult. Or the other way to do it would be put your 3rd finger. I don't really like that. I kind of like using the open string. With that, I'll do it with the fingered note and then with the open note. Oops. Fingered. Open. Somehow that's harder for me. If I had to play this a million times and really get it up to a fast tempo, I would definitely use the open note. But for now, I just like to have all the notes be, have the consistent sound of the fingers. Okay, now I'm here. This is the 4th bar. Pretty clear what that fingering needs to be. Outlining a G major. String skipping. And I'm doing something here automatically because I'm looking ahead. How am I going to get that E? That note. It's no good if I get it with the 4th finger because then I have nothing to play the G with. I got to do something weird like that. That's definitely not good. So I'm going to go. I'm going 1-4 as you might normally do, and I'm bringing the first finger up to get the D, and then the second finger on the G, and using the second finger on all the G's. Much stronger than trying to do that with a fourth finger. It's just going to be weak. Okay, so that's... I didn't plan to do that, but my hand just did it automatically, you know, because I know that that's going to be better than this. It's just too awkward to be moving the fourth finger all around like that. Now I'm on the C major. Like pretty much the only logical thing to do. This is a C major, right? And you got. I'm gonna go 1-3, or I could go 1-4. Doesn't really matter. Let's see. Important point here. So when I did this. 4-3-4 for all these. Then when I come here, now I'm doing it with 3-2-3. Why am I doing that? Because I gotta get that note. See, before I could get the high note with my second finger, but now I gotta get up to the E. I'm using 4-3-4. I gotta grab it with the fourth finger, no good. So I'll do this 1-3-2-3, 1-3-2-3, 4-3-2-3. Now I'm going. So I'm going 1-3-4-3. So I still have 1 and 3 on this fifth here, but when I go. Here it's going to be better to go 1-3-1-4 and grab the rest of the G's with the fourth finger, right? It's pretty tricky. So starting on the fourth bar, oops, I didn't do what I said I was going to do. Looks like it basically repeats. This is exactly the same. Sometimes I'm putting the second finger there. Instead of the third. I don't know. Now I'm changing my fingering. Second. I'm talking about the beginning of the fourth system now. 1-4-2-4. I'm gonna go 1-4-2-3-4-2-3-2. 4-2-3-2-1-2. I'm not sure if that's better or not. This is different, because before it went, now it goes. I'm talking about the end of the fourth system. That's pretty straightforward. Still just in third position. 1-3-2-3-1-4-3-4. I'm going to an A7 kind of sound. Then it's going to go to D minor kind of sound. third bar after that. So it's like. So it's going up to the, and the key, I guess kind of like two, or maybe it's, yeah, I guess it's a two, I don't know, D minor. In any case, it's A7 and D minor. So from the fourth system when it's, sorry. Same thing as this. It's the exact same thing. Up a whole step. A little different there though, because now it's got this kind of sound like a, I don't know, like an augmented or something. But it's basically because it's got that F natural because it's going to D minor. Exercise, just this one bar. I'm talking about the fifth system, second bar, the A7 sound. I'm keeping the A is played by the third finger all the time, except for the very first time. Just that, you know, and then it goes to the D minor. Okay, that's pretty straightforward, still in fifth position. I reach out to grab that B. You can also get it with a fourth finger here if you want. It's a matter of preference. I prefer to get it here because I'm thinking of this D minor 6 formation. Fourth finger every time this time, except for the first time where it's played by the third finger. 1, 3, 2, 3, 1, 1, 4, 1. Why am I playing it 4 here? Because I'm planning to get to the C sharp. If I put it third finger, then I gotta reach back to get the C sharp. Pretty straightforward. It's just that there's one thing that happens there. It goes a little lower. But so where are we going to make the switch? Let's say we're I'm now on the part where it starts the scales. This is at the end of the, well, now I'll go from the end of the page. So the fourth system from the end of the page, the last bar is kind of like, you know, because it's kind of like, sounds to me like G minor scale. And then it goes to A natural, so it goes like. Sounds like it's going to, like. It's kind of like going to F, right? Like a 2-5-1. Thinking of these chord changes to remember the line. Of course, you could do this here. I don't like that so much. How are you going to get this? You go up. I guess you'd have to do it. Third position as well. Just feels, my instinct tells me that's a little more awkward, because I like this much better than trying to get back to that. This to me feels better. A lot of finer fingerings is how you get from one thing to another if you have to switch positions. What's using stronger fingers? Like, I want to use my first, second, third finger. I want to use my fourth finger, kind of. This is using the fourth finger for the strongest notes, the beginning note and the ending note of that phrase. I'd rather have it be the first finger and the second finger. And then I get this. I get that with the fourth finger. Because that's really just a lead into this thing. Using first finger and second finger for the strong notes. If I did it here, it's all kind of in this part of the hand, which is not as agile as strong. It's not because I've used it less or anything, it's just a fact of the hand. This, the fourth finger is not going to be as strong as the first finger. It never will be. Second system from the end, the second bar. So that goes. Okay, so now I'm going to look ahead. Where do I want to be for this whole thing? Well, this is all A7-ish, so I want to be here. Okay, so that means... position for that one note. I think this might be the way to do it. Are gonna get, because this is already awkward to get F and C with the fourth finger. I'd rather go and just get the C down here. I know that works nicely already. Look at that whole phrase right there. And I know that that's going to be good here. So I go. But this has to be with the first finger. Because I'm going. I could go. Maybe some people would do that. Two slides. Not really a slide for the first one, but... see a better way to do it right now. And it's kind of a dramatic moment anyway. You can kind of, you know, bring it in like that. Okay, that's the end of the first page. So, to recap, We started off here. Moving here. Down to second position. Listening to our G7 sound. String skipping. Repeating. Now we're coming up to this the second system from the end. You can do the accents on these as we did in the first section. Like a... Okay. So, pretty gnarly stuff in there in certain spots, especially with the picking. The string skipping thing is, I think you can isolate little parts of this that are troublesome and just repeat them and make them into little exercises. I know I've done stuff like that in the past. So on the next video, we'll finish up this Bach. Please send me any questions you might have. This is an interesting topic for me. A little bit in the weeds, but... I think it applies not just to Bach, but to any kind of music that you're dealing with in terms of your, I don't know, if you have a pile of stuff. I got a pile of stuff here on my music stand that I have to learn for next week. And I have to do something like this all the time, you know, kind of, okay, give it a first pass, kind of roughly see what's going to be difficult, and then give it another pass where I figure out fingerings for those spots and then start working it up to tempo, you know. So so that's all for today. Enjoy your weekend. I hope to have some rehearsals and stuff tomorrow and later today. So I'll probably get back to you on Monday with this final video. Okay. Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you found it useful for your personal work. This podcast was produced by Ed Gavitt, with the original source being a video on Patreon. If you'd like to see this video, head on over to Patreon and search for Work with Miles Okazaki. If you go through a browser and sign up as a member, it's a very small fee. And if you like the convenience of the iOS app, it's just a little bit more. In any case, as a member, you have access to categories such as exercises for the guitar, things to download, things to practice, guided practice sessions where I practice and you play along, a category called the Language of Jazz where I go through standards and famous solos, transcriptions, listening sessions, and also a complete series on every composition by Thelonious Monk as it might be played on the guitar. I do detailed demonstration of material from my book Fundamentals of Guitar and have prepared special exercises and software even for members of the site. Every Sunday we sit down with some Bach, take a look at some violin sonatas, cello suites, inventions, well-tempered clavier, things like that. We work on sight reading, we work on listening, exercises to train your ear, exercises to train rhythmically off the instrument. And then as often as I can, I sit down and do a mailbag episode where I go through listener questions and answer them directly. We're having a lot of fun over there, and I really hope you can join us. And thanks for joining us today on this podcast version and for your support of creative music. See you next time.